have to start with honor of a member of the system first, because I do not know any by training, if you call it, and my colleagues in the department do not know it as well.
And then we'll move on to item number two, which is the election of a chairperson. But I'm going to speak to item number two when we reach it. My name is Mketwa Mkize. I'm an acting unit manager. I'm responsible for the secretary's support to this committee. Since the committee secretary of this committee is not present, is out with the chairperson of the committee, I'm acting here as a committee secretary for item number one and item number two. Then I would love to start on my left hand side with an honorable member to introduce himself so that we can get to know each other.
My name is Jamu Tapo Mutau. I am on this committee representing the DA.
Thank you. My name is Michael
Ross.
I'm also on the committee representing the DA. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Then I would like my colleagues from the department to introduce myself, starting with you, ma'am, on your right. Oh, with you, sir.
My name is Liwane Mukiti. From the Ministry of Energy.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Dijabu Okomu, and I come from the department.
We are planning to make
a thank you. Can my colleagues at the back introduce themselves? Starting with my far left. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Can I ask the gentleman on my left to introduce himself?
Hi, Kwebu. I'll be the new secretary for this committee.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, colleagues. That was item number one, but I would like to formally introduce Mr. Ngwebu. Honorable members, we know that the secretary that we have at the moment is a stand-in. He was here for this committee because there was a change of committee secretariat. Mr. Ngwebu, on my left-hand side, is the permanent committee secretary for this committee. Technically, it's his first day today in this committee, although he started working for Parliament during the beginning of this month. However, according to human resources strategy, he had to go through an induction program. That is why he couldn't join the committee during the first 3 days he started working. He started working on Wednesday. Given the fact that it's his first day today, I decided to assume the responsibility of a committee secretary for item number one and item number two. I will come back again when the chairperson of the committee is in to introduce him once more, but he is aware that he is within the premises of Parliament at the moment. Therefore, honorable members, please allow me to go to item number two, which is the election of a chairperson. Well, it's the election of an acting chairperson. We do have a chairperson for this committee, honorable Thabete, but unfortunately they are out of the country in Botswana, where they are attending a conference on behalf of this committee and Parliament. Therefore, because the chairperson of the committee is not present, the rules of Parliament guides us on how we should go about electing someone to chair the committee. And the person who will be elected to chair the committee will be elected to do so until the chairperson comes back. When the chairperson comes back, that position automatically reverts back to the permanent chairperson of the committee. if the chairperson is once again not available to check to chair the committee in future, similar process, we need to go through the similar process again. So, which means that the acting chairperson is for when that particular period when the chairperson is not in. Therefore, honourable members, please allow me to direct you to rule number 129 of the rules book, National Assembly. Copies of these rules books are sent to honourable members. If you do not have a copy, please let us know so that we can give you a copy. It's a photocopied page. Starting with, we're going to start with rule 129. Do all honourable members have a copy? I can see the man in front of you. Yes, ma'am. I take that we all have a copy of the rule book. I photocopied those few pages because they are the ones which are relevant to us right now. Rule 129, honourable members, I just want to kindly remind you the duties or the functions of a chairperson. I am confident that you are conservant with them. All right? I just wanted to highlight that those are the functions of the chairperson. Rule 130 reads as follows, which is below 129. If the chairperson of a committee is absent or unable to perform the functions of a chairperson, the committee may elect another member of another of its members as acting chairperson. Subrule 2 reads as follows: an acting chairperson performs the functions and may exercise the powers of the chairperson, which means now the powers of the chairperson in terms of Rule 129 that I alerted honourable members to above. Are there any questions that members would like to pose clarity? No questions. May I therefore ask the members to go through with me Rule 133 of the same rules book of the National Assembly. Rule 133. It is about the quorum. A majority of the members of the committee constitutes a quorum, subject to sub-rule 2. Sub-rule 2 reads as follows: a committee may proceed with business irrespective of the number of members present, but may decide a question only if a quorum is present. Sub-rule 3, when a committee has to decide a question and a quorum is not present, the member presiding may either suspend business until a quorum is present or adjourn the meeting. Okay. Any questions on Rule 133, honourable members? Thank you very much. I ask honourable members to read with me Rule 133 because as an acting committee secretary, I'm going to put a question to honourable members. So it is important that we have a quorum. According to my records, there are 12 permanent members of this committee, and the committee and the quorum for this committee therefore needs to be 50% plus 1. So 50% plus 1, it is 6 members plus 1 additional member, which means it is 7. Honourable members, please note that when we look at the quorum, we do not count as as a quorum alternative members of parliament. So there are 12 permanent ones, therefore our quorum will be 7. According to the attendance register, we have 7 permanent, we have 7 members here in this committee, therefore the quorum is met for the purpose of a question. Are there any questions, honourable members? Thank you. Therefore, honourable members, I'm going to put a question before you. We need to elect the chairperson, and I would call for a mover for a nomination for someone to act as a chairperson. I can see two hands. one, two hands. I can see three hands. There are three hands. Are there any other nominations? Okay, I'll start with you, sir, and you, ma'am, and then you, ma'am. Yes,
thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, I'd love to... I'm so sorry, I'm from the NLP.
Thank you.
I'd love to nominate Honorable Linda Mock, the acting chair, for this project.
Nomination number one, Honorable Linda Moss. Yes, ma'am. Are you covered?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so you are covered in terms of the nomination. Okay. The rules of parliament then allows honorable members to say something if they've got any objection. At the moment, we've got one nomination, Honorable Linda Moss. Therefore, I will put another question before honorable members. Are there any objections to nomination that we received thus far?
No.
Okay. There are no objections. Thank you very much. Therefore, I would like to call for a seconder if there is any seconder. Seconder to Honorable Linda Moss, too. Thank you. So, ma'am? Okay. Thank you very much. Therefore, honorable members, Honorable Linda Moss is duly elected as an acting chairperson for this committee. May I therefore call Honorable Linda Moss to come and preside before this committee. Thank you. Oh, okay, okay. If she's fine from there, so I'm calling her, although she's there. And may I ask honorable members to excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Secretary. I think we must start with the meeting. I want to apologize that I'm the meeting. As you know, life is full of surprises. Every day is a new day. So I was not aware something will happen with me this morning. But I must have said that so in the form of my life. but thank you very much for those who have trusted me to let me as an acting chairperson to facilitate this meeting of the Portfolio Committee of Energy. I'd like to welcome everybody in this meeting and feel free to participate in this meeting as users. And we can proceed. I think I will hand over to the department to keep us before dealing with apologies, I don't know if there is any apology.
There is an apology.
It's apology of the minister. Will not attend the meeting today, but they have other commitments to do. I will not make a full apology, but we know as manager they have also other duties to do. Is there any other apology?
I should admit that there is an apology for other members of the committee as they want to respond, which is the chair.
Thank you. Good morning. It brings me a very
short presentation. I see the agenda is only about the amendment of certain sections of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association. Mr. Jacob, are we going to do the presentation and then we'll do some questions afterwards?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. The presentation today is about the two articles of the IAEA statutes that are being amended, and the only way for them to come into effect is if they are ratified by the members of the agency. Now, the presentation, I'll give you a little bit of an introduction, then I'll tell you what we do as a department and what is the status of our relations with the agency. And then I'll talk to the two amendments, the proposed amendments, and then why the need for us to ratify, and then we'll get to the conclusion and the recommendation. The statute of the agency was approved way back in 1956, and it came into effect in 1957. South Africa participated in those very first negotiations of the particular statute, and we became parties to the statute on the 23rd of October in 1966. It establishes the IAEA. It is the International Atomic Energy Agency. It's an agency of the United Nations that is tasked with assisting countries worldwide to promote and disseminate information on the use of atomic energy for peaceful purposes, and they develop a system of controls to prevent diversion of materials from peaceful uses to military use. Now, the IAEA mission is really guided by the interests and the needs of the member states. Now, there are currently 151 members in the IAEA, and the work of the IAEA is really in nuclear safety and security, nuclear science and technology, and nuclear safeguards and verification. The policy-making bodies of the agency is the Board of Governors, which we sit on as a permanent member, and the other one is the Annual General Conference, which this year will be taking place from the 20th to the 24th of September. The policy-making bodies, obviously, they set the decisions that, you know, regarding the work of the agency, its programs and the budget related to the programs. The Department of Energy administers matters related to nuclear energy as required by the several pieces of legislation and international agreements that we have. Now, the Nuclear Energy Act No. 46 of 1999 is one of the primary pieces of legislation that govern the nuclear sector. In terms of that law, the Minister of Energy has an ongoing responsibility for South Africa's relations with the International Atomic Energy Agency. And in Section 33, it says that the minister must liaise with the IAEA on an ongoing basis in order to fulfill our international obligations. Section 33.5 of the Nuclear Energy Act says requires that all IAEA membership fees from time to time be paid to the agency by the Minister of Energy on behalf of the Republic. These are annual fees that is a contribution of our country to the regular budget of the agency. And they, in the past 3 years, they have averaged about between 7 million to 8 million rand. The Minister of Energy has therefore overall responsibility for the deposition and implementation of the international treaty obligations that we sign with the International Atomic Energy Agency. As a country, we are one of the member states, as I mentioned before, and that we formed, you know, the part of the eight nation negotiating group that concluded the text of the statute in 1957. And we interact with the IAEA on an ongoing basis by participating in the Board of Governors and in the Annual General Conference. We are signatory to various treaties, conventions and protocols related to nuclear non-proliferation, nuclear safety, and nuclear technology. And we hold the only designated seat for the continent of Africa on the IAEA Board of Governors. Currently, we receive assistance to the value of more than $1 million per year. We don't get $1 million, but the assistance that we get is equivalent to an amount of $1 million under the agency's technical cooperation program. This program contributes towards the enhancement of health, agriculture, and sustainable development in South Africa through various projects ranging from the control of the fruit fly and eradication of fruit fly. Through the assistance and the application of nuclear technology, in many cases, has brought suitable solutions to some of the problems that are confronting our country and the African continent in general. At this moment, there are 27 South Africans that are employed in the different sections of the agency. The total in the African continent is that there are a total of 73 people employed by the agency. So we basically take about just a little over 60% of that 73 number. So we have a total of 27. The statute, the amendment of the statute itself has been amended a few times since it came into effect in 1957. The first time was in 1963, and then in 73, and in 1989. Then in 1999, the proposals for the two amendments that are before you today were made. Article 6 deals with the composition of the Board of Governors. It deals with expanding the board from the current composition of 35 members to 43 members. And it sets out the list of the possible criteria that will be taken into account when the board designates these members. And it provides for each member state to be included in the regional or area group determined by the agency. This amendment will result in the implementation of a carefully crafted, long-sought resolution to issues associated with the representation of members on the Board of Governors of the agency. And we think it will contribute largely towards enhancing the effectiveness and efficiency of the IAEA. Article 14A, it requires a change in the IAEA program and budget process to be a biennial process rather than an annual process, which currently is. This will align the budgeting process of the IAEA with the other agencies of the United Nations. A consideration of only one program and one budget document and one appropriate resolution that will cover the whole biennial as opposed to the annual process that they undergo. We believe that this would lead to better facilitation of the program planning and increased flexibility in the program implementation, and therefore enhancing the effectiveness and efficiency of program delivery. Why the need for ratification by South Africa? This is the only way that the amendments of the statute will be able to come into effect. They can only come into effect if they are ratified by the member states. And we need, for those amendments to come into effect, they would have to be ratified by two-thirds of the members of the agency. In the Board of Governors, you know, South Africa has been a strong supporter of the proportional representation of member states of the Board of Governors, and we also support measures that are designed to simplify and enhance program planning and effectiveness and efficiency of program delivery. In conclusion, the ratification of these two amendments will not have any added burden on South Africa, as most of the obligations of the statute are already implemented by South Africa. We have been doing it for many years. There are also no additional financial obligations that will arise as a result of the ratification of these two amendments. Article 6, as we said, it is with the expansion of the Board of Governors. It is a step in the right direction, especially for the African region and also for the other developing countries. This will also be of some benefit to the region in terms of representation in the decision-making body and thereby increasing the benefits that would accrue to the African continent. As at the 17th of August this year, there were 51 member states that have ratified Article 6. And I'm sorry about the date of the 3rd of February. Also on the 17th of August 2010, there are 47 members that have ratified Article 14A. We, you know, they therefore need 50 more ratifications for Article 6 for it to come into effect, and would need 54 more member states to ratify Article 14A for it to come into effect. Out of 44 African countries, 5 have ratified Article 6 and 3 have ratified Article 14A. The recommendation that we bring before you today is for you to support and recommend to the National Assembly the ratification of the two amendments of the statute by South Africa. Once Parliament approves, South Africa's ratification of the amendment will be effected by depositing the instrument of ratification with the government of the United States, as it is the designated depositary government. The amendments will come into force when ratified by 2/3, and that is 101 out of 151 member states of the IAEA, and all this is done in accordance with their respective constitutional processes. And really, members, that is the presentation, and we will see questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Members, there is the presentation on the IAEA, and the floor is actually open for comments or for registration or to let us discuss it and take the way forward. Floor is open.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of housekeeping questions before we get into the meat of the thing. Are we a member in good standing? In other words, are we paid up member? If we're not, then anything we say would just not mean anything. The just for clarification, recommendation 2, it's not numbered, but I'm taking it from the press release, the one that says 50 more ratifications are required. And the explanation was that one of the effects would be that the budgeting process would be biannual and not once a year. I just want to make it clear that biannual means twice a year and not once every 2 years. Is that what it's meant by that? So that you are very clear that it shortens the time and doesn't extend it. The other question, the Board of Governors, how do they get onto the board? Are they appointed, elected? Are they nominees of governments who are member states? And why? Not why. I can understand why we have to increase. They would like to increase from 35 to 43, which means 8 more people. Why that number? Is there something magical about it? 43, or is there a reason for getting 8 new members? And is there an idea of who these 8 new members may be?
Thanks.
I just want to know about the eradication. And fly. that means I can be able as an individual to buy a stuff for my food. And the other one is, I just want to know what's going to happen, because here is only 5 countries in Africa that have ratify the membership. What's going to happen if the others in Africa do not do the same? Are we going to be left out, or are we still going to continue as Africa?
By virtue of that,
we occupy what is the designated seat for the African continent. So what happens is that, before I read that long document, in terms of the statute, you need the different regions represented. So there's North America, there's Latin America, there's Western Europe, there's Eastern Europe, there's Africa, there's Middle East and South Asia, there's the Southeast Asia and the Pacific, and then there's the FAR. So in terms of that, they would then look at the countries that have the most advanced program, and then they put them in those particular. Then on a rotational basis, for instance, this year, on a rotational basis, Africa is expected to fill two seats when we get to the General Conference in September. The countries that are being considered for those two seats by the African group is Libya, Niger, Nigeria, Sudan, Tanzania, and Tunisia. So as we go to Vienna in 2 weeks, you know, the African group would have needed to come to some consensus of which two countries we would then put on the board for this 2-year term. I think the feeling is that there's generally agreement on Nigeria and and Tunisia. Nobody's going for Sudan, Libya, no, and then it was arranged. So that is just in terms of how board members are elected into this. So what is happening is that the move to from 35 to 43 is that what we need done now is that, in fact, they say that that would lead to North America having 2 representatives, Latin America 2, Western Europe 4, Eastern Europe 2, Africa 2, Middle East and South Asia 2, Southeast Asia and the Pacific 1, and the Far East 3. I just want to check if I have the numbers of what are now. No, previously they were not outlined in the statute that these are the numbers for those permanent seats. So this process would increase the number of the permanent board members from the 35 to the 43, and for the African group, you then have 2 permanent representatives as opposed to 1 that is now currently only South Africa. So that would be the next country with the second biggest program on the continent that would then join our country on the board of governors. I've tried to summarize that one as much as I can. The eradication of fruit flies and the flies. Remember, see what I want to know if you can buy the stuff and use on them. Well, not only the technique, but also how the agency does it.
Okay. What normally happens is the agency would do some exhibition where it would send some experts to the African country, and the technique, how it works is the flies, as in the flies, certain flies that cause malaria or those that bite the food and to destroy the nectar of the food. What would happen is they would irradiate them with radiation, and then they would become sterile. And when they bite you into the certain fly, they're not gonna be able to infect you with malaria and even to the fruit fly, even if they bite them, and they will be sterilized.
So basically they have a program where they sterilize these flies, and then they, you know, they still let them loose on the particular fruit so that pollination can continue, but without them killing the consider the plants or infecting human beings with the malaria.
And
the African
But Mama, maybe to close it up, to close it up is that in terms of commercial application now, because ultimately it's only family. Yeah.
All right, we'll check.
Yeah.
Now that we hear that the committee takes particular recognitions, maybe we should arrange for you to visit the IAEA laboratories in Cyberstock. Then you'll be able to see, you know, the range of programs that the Technical Cooperation Program actually has.
So on this point, on page 8, you say the program and you're receiving $1 million per year for the TC program, and then also you're saying that this program is actually enhanced with Yalk in Africa. So this actually
member state in good standing to go through their constitutional process and ratify the amendment. I must say that the discussions about the expansion of the board have actually, they started taking place shortly after the statute was, shortly after it came into effect in 1957. Because the developing countries always felt that they are underrepresented, and you know, the West, of course, they don't want too many people at the big table. So those discussions have been happening since then. That it took so many years to eventually agree on the text in 1999 and therefore open it up for ratification was, we believe, a step in the right direction. But following that, the rate of ratification is honestly very clear. And, you know, the question of why is it so slow, we haven't been able to get what it would be regarded as a satisfactory answer. It's just countries having to just go through the process as we are now. The same question could be posed to us, that since 1999, why is it that if we think, you know, the expansion of the board is a good idea, why haven't we brought these amendments before this House? And, you know, it's just getting to the point where it should just be done. So we believe, you know, we couldn't obviously talk to the other countries that we cooperate with about these particular amendments because we are not parties to them. But there's a feeling that, you know, we need those two seats on the board, and therefore all efforts should be made to try to get other members to ratify the amendments. Every year at the General Conference, the Director General, you know, he speaks to this point to say that we have these amendments, member states, please can you ratify so that we can implement. But it's just slow. The assistance that it was a question about the USA being the depository government. Really, that is in the statute, that if any member state is going to deposit instruments of ratification and the instrument of accession and any other such related documentation, it is done via the depository government, which back in 1956 was designated as the government of the United States. I was just trying to find the exact reading of that paragraph in the statute, but it says so in the statute. And currently, you know, there aren't any proposals they can change that. All they do is to receive these and then get the message to the Director General, who will then announce to the rest of the members that such and such a country has ratified this or has acceded to that. And it's almost like a secretariat function. And as I say, there are no proposals to change that. But I must say that it does not mean that does not translate to them chairing the IAEA all the time. The chairmanship of the Board of Governors, it rotates as they, from time to time, they would then decide who's going to be the chair for this particular period. I don't know if it changes every 2 years or every year, but it changes. The same thing happens to the other policymaking body. When you go to the General Conference, one of the first items on the agenda is the election of the particular chairperson for that session. So in that sense, that the USA don't dominate.
Want to make a follow-up on it.
Thank you.
My question on, like, you that was a question that you said can be posed on us from 1999. If we can really rectify that as South Africa, are we going to gain anything, I mean, with the other member states? Is it going to make a difference with the other member states?
Yes, it is. Because if we consider that we hold the only seat of the continent, and we are saying that we think it's a good idea for the board to be expanded, the question could be posed that, but then why don't you ratify this thing so that we can get going? Or is it that you don't want another African state to join you on the board, therefore you're not ratifying? Or when I said it could be posed, I meant us as the people who should actually do the work and get it to you to be able to make decisions.
And another thing, members, is that you look at the broader geopolitical and makeup, for example, of Council of the South. With this amendment, what you have is you have that proportional increase in terms of our representation, and it means that the voice of Council of the South, not only Africa, Council of the South will have a proportionally stronger voice, marginally so, but ultimately it's about influence. As my colleague here initially said that for example, what you'll have Council of Latin Africa having two, Southeast Asia having two, three. Ultimately, that marginal increase says something in terms of the geopolitics of this institution and the management of it.
Just a few more left, Chairperson. It was that, are we part of the governing members? Yes, we are. We sit on the board. Who are the other member states? As we said, just about everybody is represented. Iran became a member in 1958. And Iraq in 1959. And four countries from the African continent became members right at the beginning: South Africa, Tunisia, Morocco, and Egypt. Basically just about everybody who plays or wants to play in the UEFA game is part of the international that we can make.
You want to follow on this?
No, I just want to go to Iraq in 1959 and Iran in 1958.
Yes. The breakdown of the assistance from the Technical Cooperation Program. If we just take this year, we I mean, during the 2010 FIFA World Cup, there was an element of nuclear security that probably nobody saw, because nothing happened. Something had happened, you would have seen it. So in that sense, I mean, for the past year before the World Cup came, we were going through a process where the different functionaries were being trained in what to look for from a nuclear security perspective. And, you know, at the entry points, we had those monitors that would monitor radioactive materials and such things. We had, you know, the emergency controls and response teams ready if any eventuality came. So, you know, that is just one example of that. And in addition, we have all the training missions and workshops and fellowships and all sorts of things that we can send South Africa to, but also we receive assistance, but we also provide assistance in the sense that we host other nationals from other countries that are being trained at your Tiger Bag or at the Nuclear Energy Corporation or with the National Nuclear Regulator. So it's a two-way thing, but there's a lot that we get out of the technical cooperation program, including these programs on the health, the agricultural application.
As well as
I think we've answered almost the question. Okay, any follow up?
Just on a light note, Madam Chair, about irradiation. Now, irradiation is both good and bad. Many years ago, when I was in school in the U.S., I came to school with a pitch, and it was overripe. And sort of like, I looked at the pitch and said, oh, I think I'm going to throw this thing away, it's rotten. And one of my American colleagues said, no, I said, give it to me. If it's got a worm in it, I want to eat it because it's a genuine fruit. Because when we irradiation kills all the little hawkers and stuff like that, but it also means that the food we eat is generally quite balanced. That's why we are so obese.
I remember I
kind of said, I think I eat too many food. I'm left to imply that you are obese. I don't see you as obese, I just see you as a big guy.
I'm feeling that by being here only reflecting in for on food to ensure education of this all these amendments. My question is, to what extent would it help to approach the South African Parliament, the members in particular, if they say they are members of country for education as well? Would it help?
Yes, it will help. Any avenue that we can use to lobby countries to ratify the amendment would be helpful.
Because I always understand all those, they get all the for the lobby.
Then, I think let's make it formal then. We should talk to our delegates who are in the Pan African Parliament that this should be done. And probably the next ordinary session is going to take place in the Pan African Parliament can work with the five. But just a few other things, though they are more broader. I think between from now and even in the future, support from the Committee for International Business Cooperation should always be sought for, because recently this Portfolio Committee has expressed on the slow pace of ratification of
various protocols, conventions. I'm talking generally. I'm raising that because I assume this is not the last time that anything or even anything that specifically existed would come and ask for ratification of a convention, protocol, of anything. And let us be open, there is some sluggishness between our state, whether it's the executive or whether it's I can go to terms to allude to other existences similar to this, where either the executive or us is sitting on a convention or whatever, that, or a threat that's supposed to be ratified. No clear explanation of why we're so close. I'm sure a courtesy visit for anyone who comes to Geneva would be nice, just go to me. And I won't be one of them. I do pay delivery business. But the last point here, let's say, to me, it seems strong that the promotion of nuclear technology should be given to some private firms. I'm part of the victims that when you say IEA, all I know about IAEA, nuclear energy, and Iran and Israel and Russia, nuclear technology and the danger by terrorists and institutions. That's how media what else there is important, like
thank you. Thank you. If there's no quality to want to go in to our station, then I will want to say thank you very much for coming to the community and to also we are come to the government as president to in parliament. And I hope or trust that our colleagues in the senior and we will also bring our lobbying part in a different way to let us in. We can't just think of the politics and we still are struggling in the country. So therefore, even when we are deploying our different constituency, we must tell people about and teaching our kids. Whenever we come to the next point on the agenda of or the opening of the school this coming week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think that's the point. We need to agree or disagree with the two recommendations.
In fact, I was coming to say that we need to agree on the amendment.
Yes.
And also that the House, both Houses need to discuss to agree on the ratification and then the lobbying can take place.
Sure. So, Chair, if you ask, I move that we as the commission with the
resolution. Can I get any removal or document of it? He's moving.
I'm moving. I need a second.
I said it.
Yeah. But thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can I come to the next point on the agenda? It will be the one is about this coming Thursday. We'll be invited, particularly announcement, we'll be invited by Secretary for opening of a new school in the West Coast, in Springenberg. So the committee wants to know, the secretary wants to know if any members of want to go for the opening of the school or on the invitation so that they can arrange transport for us for the number of people. But I was saying it will be very important for all the members to go to attend the opening of the school because the school is a combined school.
She's moving.
No, I'm not sorry. I think it's important that we can see actually as a community. We're always saying that the state spending money on or food is expensive, but now you can see here it's about education. But also linked in. So that's why I'm saying that
is
that
the intent?
Yeah.
May I ask that it be circulated to us so that we can have the documents, or if it's here, so we can just.
Yeah.
We still have to manage the diaries as well.
Yeah. So there is a copy. I think the secretary must make copies of the book as well.
Yeah.
This is all I had is from another member. I think everybody who attended the meeting, the council was also in the back. Thank you very much for coming to attend the meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Right, now I can go break somebody's neck. You know who they are.
Thank you.